1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldis and Kale back on the radio, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. Dan, amazingly enough, our contract was renewed for at least one more day.
To the shock of thousands.
Yes, yeah, millions of our worldwide listeners. And our guest on this portion of the program today is Senator John Reagan of Deerfield, who represents District 17, which includes Raymond, Nottingham, Northwood, Deerfield, Allenstown, Pembroke, Epsom, Pittsfield, Chichester, Stratford, and Loudoun. Senator, that's a lot of ground to cover.
Well, it's no more than my 23 colleagues. So.
it just sounds like a lot more, right?
Yeah, when you say it all out at once, yes.
There you go. And it's great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us today. And we're going to talk a little bit about marijuana, cannabis today. And cannabis in New Hampshire is, of course, illegal, as we know it now, for recreational use and decriminalized for possession of an ounce. Medical use is legal through the legislation that was passed in 2013. What do you want to see changed?
I do not understand what the value is of creating a war on drugs to make a plant illegal that's proven to be mostly harmless and beneficial in a lot of instances.
And Senator Reagan, this is Dan. You know, you and I have worked together on a host of issues, from child protection to expanding the available potential therapeutic medical marijuana usages. And so right now we being the state of New Hampshire, are on an island in terms of prohibition, in terms of legalization. Can you talk a little bit about the work that you largely spearheaded and led on in terms of medical marijuana? Obviously, we're still in prohibition in terms of recreational, but can you talk a little bit about the progress that we've made on medical marijuana and what people could potentially do in terms of accessing that?
Well, I was the fifth sponsor of a bill to legalize the therapeutic use of cannabis, and it passed, and for the first time we got it signed by a governor. So it then opened that door for people who understand the business of cultivating cannabis. So it's kind of a delicate plant. I guess there's over 1,000 different strains of cannabis. And the one outlet that I toured, and I talked to their medical director, who was a physician, and I said, how many strains are there? And he said, there's over 1,000 strains that we know of. And he said, we cultivate 51 strains that have specific medical uses. So I'm not a doctor, so I'm not prepared to comment on 51 different strains.
Right, right.
And of course, go ahead.
Well, our latest success has been to authorize it medically and we're very restrictive. We, in New Hampshire, the legislature likes to dictate medical practice. So we've decided in the legislature what uses therapeutic cannabis can be put to. And we've been very, very restrictive on doctors' freedom to recommend cannabis for all the different maladies that it's good for.
Yeah, and one of the big advancements, though, in terms of breaking down some of those barriers and restrictions, and John, you've led the charge on this, was chronic pain.
Yes. One of the first most beneficial uses was for chronic pain patients. I guess principally we think of chronic pain, we think of cancer. And the use of cannabis reduced the need for opiates. That alone should have removed any obstacles to the use of therapeutic cannabis.
Yep.
But not to be. So I served on a commission with a woman who we were dealing with special needs students and their ability to get services. And I said, you know, why are you here? And she said, I have four children. Three of them are boys, and they all are on the autism spectrum. And she said, my oldest son was so severely affected by autism that he had to be driven to school every day because he couldn't go on a bus by himself, that was too stressful for him to do.
Wow.
So somebody asked her one day, said, have you tried cannabis? And she said, no. And the person said, well, you know, ask your pediatrician. So she did, and the pediatrician said, I have no experience with this, but I'll give you the letter of recommendation, and then you can get a card and you can go and you can purchase whatever might be recommended. And she said she got the smallest size dose that was available, and she cut it in half and gave it to him one evening before he went to bed. And she said, when her son woke up the next day, he was a different kid altogether. He was like a normal child.
Quite a story.
And it's quite a story when you think of the, if you just want to do it from a financial standpoint, when you think of the lost time from work and the inability of autistic children to function successfully in society and require special needs, instruction in schools, and it's easily in the tens of millions of dollars in New Hampshire, and yet for a piece of a plant, they could be a more normal or an absolutely normal person. So it just is a big black eye for the pharmaceutical industry that blocks the availability of cannabis.
And of course, medical cannabis or medical marijuana has been legal since 2013. How many people have a permit to use it here in the state?
I don't have those numbers.
Okay.
I mean, the process is, you need a medical professional, a physician's assistant, an advanced practice registered nurse, or an MD to write a letter of recommendation that says, I believe my patient would benefit from the use of cannabis. And then that recommendation is part of your application to the Department of Health and Human Services to get a card that says this card holder can go into a treatment center, and which is a place that cultivates and sells therapeutic cannabis, and see what they have to say. So, very interesting, when we first talked about this, half of my committee, the Health and Human Services Committee in the House, we traveled up to Portland, Maine, that had just opened up their first dispensaries, that they called their treatment centers dispensaries.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up there and we talked to the executive director of four of the first eight licensed dispensaries. And the woman said, you know, the first problem, we had a meeting every day after we closed the store, and we had a meeting and we'd ask, you know, what were the problems? I mean, did you have trouble handling a charge or trouble making change or trouble? And all of the clerks in the store all said the same thing. People ask us, what do we recommend for a specific condition? And they said, we don't know what to say. So they started to build a database of what people said worked and what people said did not work.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a huge database of probable beneficial uses of cannabis and the different strains that were used.
Our guest today is Senator John Reagan of Deerfield, and he also represents District 17, including Deerfield, Raymond, Nottingham, Northwood, Deerfield, Allenstown, Pembroke, Epsom, Pittsfield, Chichester, Stratford, and Loudoun. Take a quick break. Feldis and Kale, 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. Welcome back to Feldis and Kale. Our guest today is Senator John Reagan, District 17. And, John, you want to, we have, you know, the medicinal cannabis, marijuana, but you want to legalize it, period, and have it sold retail style. Is that true?
I don't have any objection to the legal sale for recreation or for whatever use you want to make of it. Of cannabis, it's a plant. We're talking about a plant that comes in more than 1,000 strains and has proven to be medically effective.
But other states around us sell it recreationally, and I mean, is that part of it? Is that you want to get in on the financial aspect of it as well?
My motivation is for the medical use of cannabis.
Right.
So what else the state decides to do to generate revenue, that's somebody else's shtick.
And in terms of the medical uses, as has been noted, the first step was in 2013. However, it's been fits and starts, and it's not widely available. There has been some progress, most of this led by Senator Reagan, including dealing with chronic pain. It used to be a specific, medical impairment list. I had a bill, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, where very debilitating syndrome where people's joints would become dislocated. And we added that to the medical marijuana list. But the chronic pain addition was critical. But if there is legalization, you cover all the, obviously, the medical purposes. And certainly there's been bipartisan support for legalization, John, and bipartisan opposition to it. You mentioned earlier the pharmaceutical industry. What, in your view, has been stopping New Hampshire from joining all of our neighbors and just simply legalizing it?
I like to score that one for self-righteousness. I think people that are self-righteous think they should oppose anything that carries a whiff of sin about it, and yet probably on a Friday or a Saturday we can find them in the neighborhood pub because that substance is okay. But they just, I think they're just people who just want to moralize about how morally correct they are.
Yeah.
To ban the use of a plant. So.
Well, and it's interesting, especially since there's over 70% of Granite Staters who support the legalization, covering all the medical purposes and obviously recreational. So, a small minority is blocking this.
Yes. In June, that number went up to 75%.
Oh, it did.
You want to UNH survey. So we're the more people that talk to people that have tried it, the more people are inclined to answer a surveyor and say, you know, I don't oppose the sale of cannabis.
Right.
So, you know, but since our neighboring states have, you know, turned it into profit centers, like Massachusetts, for example, you know, I guess New Hampshire, which used to be known, it used to be known as the syntax capital of the country. You know, when they, I think it started when they you know, had the cheaper cigarettes, and in some cases they still do than other states. So the cheaper liquor along the side of the road, and the state lottery moved in 1964. So in New Hampshire used to be called the syntax capital of the country. S-I-N tax, that is, syntax capital of the country. And kind of fallen behind in that regard. So, you know, but at any rate, so would you like to see it sold on a retail basis?
Like I said, I have no objection.
Okay.
That
And tax it to the hilt, right? If they're going to do
tax it within reason.
Right. But yeah, like everything else is taxed to the hilt, like cigarettes and alcohol and gas. So, you know, why not? And
keep in mind when you do that, Ken, and what you do is you encourage illegal activity. This was another lesson from the executive director in Maine. So she had some regular clientele come in, and she said to one of the gentlemen from the street, and she said, you know, I need to talk to a street dealer. And he said, for what? She said, I have some questions for them because I don't know how to price this stuff.
Yeah.
So the fellow left, and he came back an hour later, and he said, come with me. So she followed him down to this city street corner, and she said, there's a fellow who's dressed very nice. She said, if he showed up to take your sister out, you wouldn't object. And he's a street dealer. And she said hello to the man, and he said, listen, he said, I appreciate what you're doing up there. And he said, I encourage you to do that, and I'll give you any information you want about pricing. And she said, well, wait a minute. I'm competition for you. And he said, lady, you're not going to take away enough business to bother me. But he said, I have so many seriously ill people that pull up to this curb every day. And he said, I can't sleep at night over it because he said, there's nothing I can do about it. And he said, there's such a need for this, for these suffering people. And she was really taken aback by that, but she got the information she needed, and she was able to then price her product in her store.
But, of course, it's not only the sick and the ailing that are going to avail themselves if marijuana is sold over the counter. I mean, and the argument is we have, you know, an opioid crisis here in New Hampshire that, you know, is among the highest in the country. In terms of usage of opioids per capita. And, you know, some people don't want to introduce, you know, a new drug to the legal market.
True.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
But. Yeah. Now, how would this work now? Let's just say it is theoretically passed, the sale of marijuana, over-the-counter, retail, whatever you want to call it. You know, in this state, would it be done? I mean, you passed the bill in the House and in the Senate. I don't know if the current governor would sign it, but maybe he'd let it pass without a signature. I don't know. How would it work? Would it be a statewide law, or would it be, you know, municipality by municipality, like they have Keno? I mean, you have Keno in Bow, but you don't have Keno in Concord. Would it be like that? I mean, even in your district, Senator Reagan, say they wanted it in Epsom, but they didn't want it in Pittsfield. I mean, would it be done, you know, town by town, or would it be just a state law? How do you see that?
that the laws usually read that a town would have a veto power, or to get a permit, you would need the town administration, planning board, select board, to give their approval, or at least to not object to the placement of a treatment center. And I have one of the newest treatment centers just opened in my town of Chichester.
Very good. Very good. So, but, you know, I'm not necessarily talking about treatment centers. I'm just talking about retail places that sell marijuana.
Well, that we'll continue to call them treatment centers.
Okay.
and we should protect those people who have stepped up and lost a lot of money providing therapeutic cannabis to the patients in our state.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. No question. A lot of people did step up under uncertain situations, lost money. You know, like we said, fits and starts on this, and you know, they're really providing a service to people who needed it.
Yes.
So what would be the difference then, you know, between, you know, what you're proposing and the CBD stores that are around the state now?
CBD is a different product. It comes from that family of cannabis, but it's a different, not as pleasurable or as what we think of as cannabis with the THC content.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
John, is CBD regulated at all in New Hampshire, and what's the status of that?
I think at this point that the feds have given the okay or removed their objection.
Okay, on the CBD, got it.
On CBD.
Yeah.
Because, so, and the way it works in the retail outlet, in my understanding in Massachusetts, if you go into a, whatever they call their stores, if you have a card, you buy the product without a sales tax.
Okay.
So you exempt the medical patients from paying the sales tax, and you let the partygoers support the store.
Pay the tax. Yeah, because it's considered to be a necessity for folks with medical purposes.
Yes.
I see. But you see the CBD stores, they're everywhere in New Hampshire and everywhere else, for that matter.
Well, so, it has its benefits.
Yep.
Medically. So.
But you're the advocate for cannabis and the legalization of marijuana, and I know you have no objection to it. I just wonder how you see it down the road being sold. I mean, in stores like they have in Massachusetts and Maine.
Well, it will be, and we have outlets now for therapeutic use.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's fair to let them continue to be the providers. It's a pretty expensive growing operation.
Yeah.
So you should honor that, and they've put up with all the restrictions, and people have invested large amounts of their money to get these things, get these places in operation. So,
well,
I think that's.
You know, they've been a success. You know, I guess in Massachusetts and in Maine so far, and I guess the state is deriving benefit from the taxation of it. So, I guess your attitude is why not, right here in New Hampshire?
Well, the other thing, there's an organization that promotes legalization, and their signature line on their correspondence is that alcohol is the drug of violence, and people on cannabis and most other drugs are not, are not violent. They lose violence when they're using drugs. So for that, you know, for that alone, it's worth the look-see, and it's worth the promotion that it reduces violence.
And if you look at the statistics in this war on drugs, John, as you well know, disproportionately arrests of younger people, disproportionately arrests of people of color with respect to marijuana. It really impacts people in many cases for their lifetime.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole other. And I don't know how hard we worked to get that, to take away severe penalties. And in a lot of states that when they legalize, they then go and erase all the criminal records, because it's just such a cruel thing to do, to make somebody a heinous drug abuser and deny them college scholarships, admissions in the military, and over something that people have been playing around with for 100 years.
Absolutely. And rental applications for places to rent getting denied because of it, job applications getting denied because of it. And we did work very, very hard, John and I and others, to do a form of decriminalization. But, look, legalization would cover the basis. And as John mentioned, oftentimes when states have taken that route, they've also expunged or annulled prior records of folks who have been caught with low-level possession. And I think that's appropriate to do.
I agree.
Well, John Reagan, we appreciate you being with us today from District 17, and hope to have you back again at some point. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Ken, and thank you, Dan.
Thanks, John. Take care now.
Thank you, sir. John Reagan, and he wants cannabis to be legal throughout the state of New Hampshire and the decriminalization of marijuana. So we'll see how that goes in the legislature, in the House and in the Senate. Usually, Dan, in the past, it's passed in the House and has failed in the Senate. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, there's votes in the Senate for it. It's just that the particular governor has pledged to veto it in any form. So, I think we'll see what Governor Sununu does in his future. But, certainly 75% of Granite Staters want it legalized. Governor Sununu opposes it, and we'll see where it goes.
All right. We will take a break, and then we shall return with Amy Hall, the Executive Director of Granite State Dairy Promotion, right here, Feldis and Kale, 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. Welcome back to Feldis and Kale. We're on 103.9, 1450, WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. You can find all the back episodes of Feldis and Kale on nhtalkradio.com. We're proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And joining us now, the executive director of that aforementioned organization, Amy Hall. Amy, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Great. We are terrific. We are terrific. Always a delight to hear your voice.
Oh, you know what? I ditto that. It's wonderful always to chat with you and Dan. It's most certainly a day maker, a week maker, a month maker, a year maker. However long we go on doing this, it always makes my day.
A day maker. That's what we like to think of ourselves as, day makers here.
That's right.
On Feldis and Kale.
We
I like
call
that
it
term.
Day makers with, yes, Feldis and Kale.
The day makers. Somebody might like to give us a haymaker, but we are day makers.
That's right.
Here on Feldis and Kale. So, Amy, what is new with you and the Granite State Dairy Promotion?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much exciting stuff happening. Number one, believe it or not, we have been talking about this for months. And I have been waiting with what my dad always calls bated breath.
Yes.
We've mentioned it before, this new van we're getting, right?
Oh,
this
yeah.
New mobile dairy unit. We have, there's been so many obstacles along the way from, you know, shortages in supplies. So, for example, the awning that we have on there. When you do branding, everything is image. Everything is, you know, neat and tight, and you want it to look very, very good. And then we have the van wrap, and I have to go through, you know, the USDA to get approval on some of the larger messaging that we do. So that's always a little bit of weaving and winding, but I am pleased to say, finally, the wrap is done. It has been approved. That van has been moved, and it's in the process of getting wrapped. So people can actually 100%, after months of waiting,
all right,
look for us at the finish line of Millennium events. And the biggest one that we have coming up right now is the New Hampshire Marathon in Bristol, which, of course, is the first official marathon in New Hampshire. And I almost want to say the country. I feel like Dan might know that. I don't know why. I feel like Dan might have a pulse on that. I should probably know before I say these things, but definitely the first in New Hampshire.
Yeah, the official, yeah, and a marathon, 26.3 miles?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, of course, there's different portions to the marathon, too. You could do
sure.
the 5K. There's a kids run, which would probably be most appropriate for me and my physical condition these days. You can do a 10K or participate in the entire marathon.
Wow.
Or you could watch it and just drink chocolate milk.
Or you could do that, too. Everybody is welcome at the mobile dairy unit. And let me tell you, it is fun at these events to hand out milk. And it's funny because I started training a new assistant recently. And one of her questions was, you know, is this milk just for the athletes? And I said, absolutely not. You know, the milk is for everybody. It's local farm fresh milk that is bottled specifically for us and for each individual event that we do by Hatchland Farm up in North Haverhill, New Hampshire. We have our own special bottles with our own special labels coming. This really is a full emergence and a whole new rebrand for our Refueling with Chocolate Milk message here in New Hampshire.
Wow.
I'm pretty excited. I can't even stop talking. I'm so excited.
Hey, well, it's okay. I can understand the excitement. The new van, the new wrap, the marathon in Bristol. But when is that?
That is October 2nd.
Okay.
So the first Saturday in October. And wonderful people, wonderful organization. They give back to organizations like CASA, Girls Inc. So all of the funds that they raise actually all return back to their local community to make sure that, you know, we all continue to keep each other accountable and do the right things for the right people who need it. And it is most certainly events like that that not only interest us but are near and dear to our hearts, as they are, you know, dairy farmers' hearts as well. They are huge members of communities, community service, giving back to their local neighborhoods, local organizations. So anytime, you know, there's an event like this designed for health and fitness and also with the component to supporting local communities, we are all over it.
Wow. And that's the first one in Bristol. And, you know, I know they've had marathons in Manchester in the past. And, of course, the most famous one is probably the Boston Marathon. But is it called the Bristol Marathon, or what is there another name for it?
No. It's the New Hampshire Marathon.
No, the New Hampshire Marathon. Okay.
Yes. I want to say, I'm going to look this up, Ken, and then I will message it to you because
okay.
I feel silly. For some reason, my instinct is to say it is the first official full marathon in all of New Hampshire, the very original, the longest standing, the longest running. So it's really unique. It's really original and fun to New Hampshire. And you mentioned the Boston Marathon. You know, the qualifications to run in the Boston Marathon have changed throughout the years.
Sure.
And one of those things is you have to have a qualifying marathon under your belt.
Right.
And not just any marathon counts. The New Hampshire Marathon is actually considered one of those qualifying marathons.
Ah, okay. All right, and it's October 2nd.
Mm-hmm. October 2nd, you can still sign up if you are interested. I'll tell you this, it is a grueling course. Absolutely grueling.
Yeah, wow.
You're really selling it.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
I'm telling you, it's something. It's a beautiful course. Of course, it weaves and winds around Newfound Lake.
Yeah,
but
the
ups and downs, the twists, the turns, people who cross that finish line most certainly have earned and very much deserve their chocolate milk.
No doubt about it.
Wow. And you can actually, there's one website I just happened upon. It's called Running in the USA. Running in the USA. And you can take a look at it right there. The New Hampshire Marathon, October 2nd, 2021. And as you said, Amy, 26.2 miles. Or 13.1 miles, you could do that too. The 10K and the kids run, and it's all there. It says in Bristol, it's a Boston Marathon qualifier. So there you go. What more could you ask for?
Nothing.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I look back, and what fills me with joy is when people cross that finish line, and this isn't just me, you know, boasting or bolstering about the dairy industry, is to see the direct beeline that people make for the chocolate milk.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I mean, it's just extremely fulfilling in terms of it connects quite a few dots. So it's a feel-good moment when you understand that people who are at a level to be able to run 26.2 miles on, again, I know I'm not selling it well, a very grueling course, to know immediately at that level of health and fitness, the care that they must have to take for their body to stay physically conditioned for that, that their first stop is to reach for chocolate milk. Healthy, wholesome, natural, that feels really, really good. And in terms of influence, and we hear influencers a lot lately, it's something that we need more of in this industry. We need more people out there who understand this science. Healthy individuals, happy individuals who sit down and say, you know what, I don't want to drink what looks like a snapped glow stick. I won't mention the drink I'm talking about. After I just physically trained for years, for months, and I just kicked my own butt on this course, I want something that's good for my body.
Well, there you have it. Chocolate milk is the answer, no doubt about it. And when you're traversing around Newfound Lake, don't forget, this is October 2nd, Dan, October 2nd. And can you imagine what the foliage is going to be like?
Beautiful.
When you run around Newfound Lake on October 2nd. So foliage is going to be at its peak October 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Without question.
Yeah, beautiful time of year, and of course we will be serving up code 33 milk. We should all know about
33.
Checking our jugs by now. Code 33 milk, and a very serious endeavor on my part, which is to make sure that we're keeping our consumers and our local people as well informed as we can, that yes, you are absolutely 100% able to support New Hampshire's dairy industry, even in large stores like Hannaford, Shaw's, Market Basket, Stop and Shop. Those are the places that are still a very easy and convenient location to feel good about supporting dairy farmers with code 33.
And you, I know, Amy, recently posted a video about 33.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking Larry Bird. We're talking New Hampshire Milk here.
Yes, right. Exactly. I did. That was an emotional video for me to make. But it's one of those informational pieces that needs to hit home in the way that emotionally impacts somebody. And I do know that when people see those statistics and they have help understanding the situation that this industry faces. And when I say industry, I mean all across the nation, but my job is to represent New Hampshire. My job is to stand up for my New Hampshire farms. And the more farms we lose, the more milk we have to import.
Yep.
So that means that every pound of milk that leaves the dairy farm, every dairy farmer that goes out of business, that pulls our product in from farther and farther away. We have milk coming in now from Ohio. Yes, we have California milk. We have Illinois. And that is a direct result of, number one, lack of understanding, I think, in terms of walking into a grocery store and taking for granted that dairy products will always be there. And along the way, you lose that a lot of those products are no longer local to you or your community. Number two, of course, we have a lot of market competition with, you know, your oat milk, your almond milk, you name it, whatever they're coming out with now. We're losing a lot of share in the aisle to those beverages and foods. So what we're finding and what I find is that people are a lot more vested in local than they are in specific trends, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's what's important, is to understand that a trend is a trend, right? And I think that alternative milk beverages, nobody can deny that those are here to stay. But the education part and where we get people turning back to fluid milk is based on local. It's based on these are the local folks who produce your food. And that's gotten lost somewhere along the years. We've tended to identify dairy with massive industry. You know, people tend to identify dairy as some sort of factory farming operation, which right here in New Hampshire and New England is most certainly not the case. We are very blessed and lucky to have small farms, and we still have the potential to keep our milk local, but we have to stay vigilant and we have to stay very much aware of what we are picking up in the grocery store. And that's why I'm pushing so hard on code 33 and to check your jugs, folks. I mean, I know it's a little silly tagline, but if it sticks, it sticks. We gotta get this to stick so that we can keep our farms thriving and in business.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Amy. We have to take a quick break. Amy Hall is with us, the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion, our proud sponsor here on Feldes and Kale at 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Welcome back as we head down the home stretch and the first airing of this program on the 19th of August, on Thursday, August the 19th, which happens to be, Amy Hall of the Granite State Dairy Promotion, National Soft Ice Cream Day.
Soft serve ice cream
soft
day.
Soft serve, yes, soft serve. Yes, this is soft serve day.
It's a good day when it's a soft serve day. And I will tell you, every ice cream shop, for the most part, right, they have soft serve ice cream.
Yep.
But I will give you a hint. Hatchland Farm, who also bottles our milk for our events, makes from scratch milk from their own cows. Dave, who makes the ice cream, believe it or not, actually went to ice cream school. Yes, there is such a thing, folks. You can get a degree in making ice cream. They churn out some of the best soft serve ice cream you will ever have. The level of butter fat contained within their soft serve.
Sounds great.
It's like eating silk. It's like thick, rich, sweet, chocolatey silk. That's the best way I can describe it.
All right. Give us the location again, Amy.
It's Hatchland Farm up in North Haverhill, and actually they are called Wicked Good Dairy Delights.
Wicked Good Dairy Delights at Hatchland Farms.
Yeah, owned and run by one of our very own local New Hampshire dairy farmers. They just built a large store, which is going to be opening shortly, and they'll be carrying all sorts of New Hampshire-made goods, New Hampshire products. You know, everything, it all comes full circle. And if we all support each other, if we all support local businesses, I think we'll all, at the end of the day, end up a pretty huge success.
Yes.
You know, it's also, in addition to Soft Serve Ice Cream Day, National Soft Serve Ice Cream Day, it's World Photo Day. So when you're out on that ice cream trail, folks,
and
you take a picture, send it to Amy, and she will put it online for you.
Make sure it's an appropriate picture that the USDA will not frown down upon.
Of course. Always. Of course. But since you can tie the two together, Soft Serve Ice Cream Day and World Photo Day. So you can only do it through the Granite State Dairy Promotion. and Amy Hall. And Amy, it's always a delight to have you with us, and we will talk with you soon.
Thanks, Amy.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for making my day. Talk soon.
We always love to do that here on Feldis and Kale. Join us again for our next Feldis and Kale program right here on WKXL.